season's greetings, everyone. This is the December 19th, 2009 Intuitive Guidance Psychic Podcast, and I am Dana Marie. As always, it's a pleasure to connect with each and every single one of you. Thank you so much for listening, and happy holidays. This is, in fact, the last podcast for 2009. Of Intuitive Guidance, and we're just a little less than a week away from Christmas. I believe Hanukkah either ended yesterday or today, I'm not too sure, but it is the holiday season, and in fact, it's supposed to be snowing at any minute now. They've been predicting snow for my regional area, which is New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, all points east. And as of, I guess, last night or yesterday, the snow was supposed to arrive at around noon. Well, it's actually now a quarter to two in the afternoon, and no snow as of yet, but it's very overcast, it's quite cold, and you can definitely feel that something is definitely in the works. So I'm not saying it's not going to snow, I know it's going to snow. It's kind of like the heavens above are really churning it up here. And they're going to make sure we get socked one way or another. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're also anticipating snow, well, it's winter. What can I tell you? Or it's just about anyway, in a couple of days here in the Northern Hemisphere. And I also want to thank everyone who has been following my latest personal drama, if you will. It's snowing! Aha! It just started. I'm seeing little flakes outside my window. Well, dang gone it. It waited for me to record the podcast before it started snowing. It says, oh, she's starting. Let's bring on the white stuff. That's just too funny. Yep, it's starting to snow just a little bit. I'm sure it's going to pick up momentum eventually. Anyway, for those of you who have been following me on Facebook, thank you so much for your support, your well wishes, and your prayers during some very interesting events which have occurred here at home for the past week or so. I am happy to say that, at least for now, knock wood, I am by myself. The heat is on, and I'm in total bliss, and I pray that it lasts, at least for the majority of today, because I have a couple of forecast readings to do. The less distractions, the better. But that doesn't mean I'm going to settle. I am still looking for a place, so a place of my own, of course. I live in a roommate-type situation. I live in a private house, and things have gotten a little weird. Especially since it got colder. So I want to thank you for those who have been following me on Facebook for your thoughts and your ideas and your suggestions, and things are turning around. I must say things are turning around for the better. I'm starting to clean up around here a little bit more in anticipation of just removing myself from this environment in the not too distant future. And also, if you don't know how to follow me on Facebook or Twitter, you could go to either site, facebook.com or twitter.com, and look me up. My handle or screen name or Twitter name or Facebook name is Dana333444. Alrighty, so we do have a big full podcast today. First, we're going to talk about a combination of three topics all in one. The winter solstice, which is coming up in a couple of days, followed by Capricorn, which is also starting in a couple of days, or tomorrow, I think, and the Queen of Pentacles, which is a tarot card that I, it's a tarot card, it's a suit card that's basically matches the vibration, if you will, of Capricorn. Next, I have a reading request for Karen, then some upcoming psychic events. Then I have a reading request for MS. Lastly, I'll talk about the 2010 personal forecast readings and today's spirit message from the Archangels, Emotional Sensitivity. Now, I combined winter solstice with the meaning of Capricorn with the Queen of Pentacles because it's all related. Capricorn, I believe, begins on the 20th. So happy birthday in advance to all of you Capricorns out there, especially you, Jill Dane. Happy birthday to you coming up. And the Queen of Pentacles, which you can tell by the symbols of the Queen of Pentacles card from the Major Arcana. There are some symbols here that are pretty much in alignment, if you will, with the Capricorn energy. The winter solstice is on the 21st, which is on Monday. And we are in the throes right now of the holiday season, of course, with Christmas coming up on Friday. And if you're not in the Northern Hemisphere, then you must be in the Southern Hemisphere if you're listening to this, which means you are heading into summer for you guys down under. For the solstice, it's the time of year when the night is actually the longest and the day is the shortest. And you're wondering, like, well, how did that happen? Well, you know, it's science. That's basically how it is. It's the time of harvest. It's the time of gathering everything together in anticipation for the cold and the snow of winter. Harvesting or preparing for winter is basically what they did in ancient times in terms of gathering food, gathering crops, gathering all those natural resources and putting them in some kind of a storage facility or a storage place, making sure that everything was well preserved so that when winter came, you had, or our ancestors had, I should say, adequate amounts of food, adequate amounts of resources. For this coming winter solstice, it's going to occur on the 21st, as I said, at about 9:47 a.m., I believe Pacific time, which would be about 12:47 or so on in the afternoon on Monday. And in fact, on Monday, I believe at my day job, we're having a little bit of a luncheon, which should be quite fun and quite festive. So the solstice, what you're going to experience also after the solstice has passed is that the days are going to start to gradually get longer again in anticipation for spring in 3 months. So when January rolls around, when February rolls around, you will find or you will start to see that the days do in fact become just a little bit longer. So when it's the first day of spring for the spring equinox around March 21st, you will find that yes, the days are a bit longer than the nights. But for now, the sun sets basically around 5:15, 5:30, depending on where you are. People are now gathering what they could in anticipation for Christmas in modern times. This is the last shopping weekend it's the last shopping weekend before Christmas. So the stores, depending on people's spending, I guess, might be a little bit crowded, at least up until Christmas Eve. People are just gathering their last-minute necessities in anticipation of Christmas, more or so like how our ancestors had to gather the crops, the wheats, the barley, the grains, and all those wonderful natural resources in anticipation of just staying inside during the cold winter months. This is also a time of hibernation in which we just basically slow down. Like the bears that hibernate this time of year. They hibernate for months. And so we are, in a sense, in a hibernation type of period during winter, especially with the much longer days. Our bodies, I believe, tend to slow down metabolically. We kind of slow down, kind of like in a hibernated type of state, if you will. So with the winter solstice, there are many festivals across the board. Of course, Christmas being one variation of the winter solstice festivities and rituals. And just so that you know, and I'm sure you do if you are open-minded and do listen to this podcast or similar podcasts, even radio shows, there are a lot of pagan traditions within Christmas. There, I said it. There are a lot of pagan traditions within the Christmas spirit. During the early days of Catholicism, the early Catholics, you know, they borrowed a few ideas here and there from pagan culture and somehow incorporated that into the Christmas season or the Christmas holiday. It is believed that Christ himself was not born on December 25th, but was in fact born sometime during the summer, around July or so. I do believe he is a Cancer anyway. He was just that sensitive. So I don't believe that Christ was born on actually December 25th. The early Catholics, again, they used the winter solstice. They borrowed a few of the pagan culture traditions, rather, and made that into their own little holiday, which they call the Mass of Christ, Christmas. And speaking of holidays, not, you know, there's a few more besides Christmas that people do celebrate at this particular time of year. Hanukkah, for instance, is the festival of lights. Hanukkah is a festival of lights, mostly symbolized by the eight candles. Okay. Something like that. Symbolized by the candelabrum known as a menorah. Hanukkah celebrates a lighting miracle when one night's worth of oil is lit, or shall I say, one night's worth of oil lit candles for 8 days. And there are special foods that are prepared, and there's 8 days, I believe, of gift-giving that are also part of the Hanukkah tradition. And at my place of work, because the people who organize the company are of the Jewish faith, they are, you know, we've seen menorahs and all of that stuff at my office. Christmas, as I said, we explained that, celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And as I had alluded to before, Christ was not born on December 25th. But like the other holidays, Christmas is celebrated with festivity and gift giving. And there are just other pagan traditions and so forth also blended in with the Christmas holiday. Kwanzaa is another one, is a week-long celebration held in here in the United States, honoring African heritage and culture, marked by participants lighting a kinara, or a candle holder. Kwanzaa is usually observed from about December 26th to January 1st of each year, as I said, primarily in the States, and Kwanzaa is now considered one of the primary holidays within this country during the Christmas holiday season and so forth. Kwanzaa consists of 7 days of celebration, featuring activities such as candle lighting and the pouring of libations, and culminating in a feast and then gift giving. It was created by Ron Karenga. I don't know if I pronounced his name appropriately, or but he was the one who came up with Kwanzaa, and it was first celebrated the day after Christmas, around 1966 to New Year's Day of 1967, just a little bit before my time. So that, in a nutshell, gives you a sense of course, that the winter solstice is here. It's now snowing. It's a few days before Christmas. So it's usually a happy time of year for most people. But it's also a time of sharing, yes, most definitely. I mean, the gift-giving is nice and everything, but sometimes there's just a little bit of tenderness that we can show one another. We can show one another at least a sense of appreciation, letting them know that they feel as if they're wanted, or at least loved, or at least looked after. I mean, I've seen, and I hate to put a damper on this, but I have to speak my mind. I have seen examples in which, I don't know, it's like a class versus class situation. And people are, at least, you know, from what I've been exposed to, have really forgotten about just getting together with people in the sense of sharing, in the sense of openness, in the sense of being able to support one another. That's basically my take on the meaning of Christmas and the holiday season. More so than the gift giving is that we're just sharing with one another, and I haven't seen any of the sharing. It's all about this me aspect. Where did that come from? How did that happen? Well, you're going to find in the few years to come that those who believe that they are not, or shall I say, that they feel untouchable because they may belong to a certain ethnicity or belong to a certain class, they're going to have to become a little bit more humble and see that we're all part of the human race and that there really isn't any distinction. We all have blood through our veins. And no one is better than any other. No race is better than any other. No gender is better than the other. And we just have to share. No religion is better than another. This is all collective. We are all one. That's the meaning of the holidays. And even when it's not the holiday season, we are all one. God is one. God is all that is. And we forget. There's this separatism that's come out of nowhere. Separatism that begins war. Separatism that begins poverty. Separatism that begins, like, just disdain for one another. And that really has to stop. Because we're all one. Let go of the separatist beliefs, and we'll have peace in the world. So there. I just had to say that. So, Merry Christmas, season's greetings, Happy Hanukkah, and Happy Kwanzaa to you all. Okay, moving right along. We're going to talk about something else that's starting during the winter solstice, which is the sign of Capricorn. The sign of Capricorn is represented by the symbol of the goat, as you will see on the Queen of Pentacles when we talk about that in just a bit. Capricorns are not the ones who seek the limelight, per se. Rather, they make up the audience that admires them. They are like a tortoise. You know, Capricorns move slowly and still. And yet, they win the race. A Capricorn finds it extremely easy to merge into a group and will look like one of its original members. A Capricorn always seems to be surrounded by an air of seriousness and just being very down to earth. Very, very down to earth. They don't like to stir up a whole lot of drama for the most part. And they do speak what's on their minds. A lot of Capricorns have very soothing voices, a pleasant appearance, and quite a convincing personality. A Capricorn not only looks harmless, but rather, a Capricorn is quite incapable of any serious damage. A Capricorn could take abuses, strains, failures, as well as any responsibilities quite calmly, without even batting an eye. He knows where he has to go, and will persistently move towards that goal. A Capricorn holds great respect for the people who have excelled in their life, respects authority, and honors conventions. One of the most admirable traits of Capricorns is their ability to submit and adapt. They let people go ahead and then find a way to reach the finish line before them. A Capricorn's characteristics profile exhibits a quality of keeping the eyes fixed on the aim. And a Capricorn does not daydream. He's above envy, he's above obsession, recklessness, rage, abuse, idleness, and negligence. And as far as a Capricorn is concerned, all these things are obstacles in the way of success. A Capricorn can be very romantic, but emotions do not make a Capricorn oblivious of the practicalities of life. Unrestrained passions and emotions make a Capricorn quite uncomfortable. And at times, a Capricorn may put his foot down and refuse to work till he is given the complete power. But at least a Capricorn has to be prepared for everything, be it an emotional commitment, let's say, in a relationship, or a business venture. Capricorns never wait for the opportunity to knock twice on the door. He is always waiting for it eagerly. A Capricorn will also come across as an extremely sweet person who is shy, harmless, trustworthy, and perhaps a little obstinate. But you can confide everything in a Capricorn and trust him blindly. And in the end, he becomes indispensable, and you start depending on the Capricorn. But then who's complaining? It's always comforting to have the Capricorn's very strong shoulders to lean upon. And the Capricorn loves taking responsibilities and will carry them out meticulously. And with a Capricorn, you will never have to worry about anything. Just remember to let the Capricorn handle the reins. Now, I don't know many Capricorns personally, other than psychic extraordinaire Jill Dane. I know she's a Capricorn. But growing up, I've been around Capricorns, but at least throughout my life, but not a whole lot of them. And the ones that I did know, there were a couple that I got along with okay, and then there were just a couple I just did not really resonate with at all. I guess just because I'm that flighty kind of air sign Libra gal, and Capricorns are so grounded, it's like, what's with you? So happy birthday in advance to all of you dynamic, wonderful, and loving Capricorns out there. This is most definitely your time of the year between December 20th to about January 19th or so. And the last part of this big topic here is the Queen of Pentacles. Now, if you're looking at a traditional Rider-Waite card of the Queen of Pentacles, you would see symbols around her of the goat, which is synonymous with the sign of Capricorn. The Queen of Pentacles is sitting in her throne, and she has on her lap, and actually in her hands, on her lap, is a pentacle. The pentagram, the sign of many things to many people. For most tarot readers, it symbolizes security, stability, creature comforts, and most particularly, money. You see that the Queen of Pentacles is sitting very forlorn in her throne. She is adorned with her crown and this beautiful green cape that surrounds her head and her shoulders and coming down her back. And she's just looking very much in bliss, maybe with a little tinge of sadness, maybe because she's lonely or she has a lot on her plate, but she's still comfortable. She's yet very content with her surroundings. She is surrounded by a lot of nature. She has animals and plants and wildlife and flowers all around her. She is at one with the earth energy. She is at one with the earth spirit. And when I see a Queen of Pentacles in a reading, I tend to ask the person that I'm reading for, do you know of an earth sign energy who might be a Capricorn? Or, in some lesser degrees, perhaps maybe a Taurus or a Virgo, depending on the person that I'm reading for, and if they know anyone who fits the description of a Queen of Pentacles or at least of the Capricorn. And you can see, well, again, she's looking down on her possession here, which is the pentacle itself. She's looking down at it with this sense of nurturing and caring and comfort, maybe a little bit of sadness. It's kind of like she feels as if she has to give up her baby in a way, but she knows that obviously she's going to be gaining a whole lot more. But she's taking great care in the nurturing and the grooming, if you will, of this nice size pentacle coin, which had started out very small in its infinite stages. And now she's caring for it. She's looking down as if she was looking down at her own son or her own daughter, seeing this little girl, this little boy grow up. And at some point, the Queen of Pentacles has to let her go, knowing that it's for the best and there's more yet to come. Wow. That's a statement. But yet, a Queen of Pentacles, like the Capricorn, it's all about someone who's very goal-oriented, but with the very best of intentions. And they have to feel as if they are at one with the Earth. It's like, you can look at the Queen of Pentacles, and she's like beckoning you to come into her world, and she'll take care of you. Queen of Pentacles are, let's say, for instance, somebody who matches this description in a reading may have a home overflowing with children, pets, plants, and a lot of friends. Very warm, very generous to all. Very sensible and very practical, just like the Capricorn. She doesn't have a lot of time for elaborate plans and other craziness. If something needs doing, she just takes care of it without a lot of fuss and bother. If necessary, she makes do with little and always comes through in a pinch. There is a down-to-earth, matter-of-factness about the Queen of Pentacles, much like the Capricorn, huh? She is always loyal and steadfast, and because she is trusting by nature, others trust her completely, like the Capricorn. When you are hurting or in need, the Queen of Pentacles will calm your fears and share your troubles. Practical application of thoughts and desires bring success and material security in the eyes of the Queen of Pentacles. Good business sense, works hard, loves plants and animals, steady, patient, and generous. Enjoys preparing and eating good food, loves touching and being touched. The Queen of Pentacles likes to keep some money aside for peace of mind, maybe a little bit frugal. Reliable, as I said, down to earth, as I said, practical and supportive. And definitely a lover of nature. So this person could be working with plants or animals, natural healing, maybe a chef, a greenkeeper, has his or own business, something like that with the Queen of Pentacles. Likes to go outdoors. Okay, well, I've gone on for quite a while here, but I believe you got the gist of it. Winter solstice, Capricorn, and Queen of Pentacles. It's kind of like a triple play for this time of year. And if you have any questions or comments about this particular topic, or this triple play topic, if you will, feel free to send an email to podcast@intuitivedana.com. Alrighty. Moving right along here. I have a reading request for Karen. Her date of birth is May 23rd, 52. She's inquiring about Bob, May 24, 1941. Her question is, are we soulmates? We have not actually met, and I want to know if we ever will, and what kind of relationship will we have? Thank you. And thank you, Karen, for your question. You and Bob. Well, you know something, Karen. I don't know if you know Bob, like, let's say through like an online dating site, or you met him over the internet, which is the feeling that I get about this. And you submitted your question almost a month ago, so I don't know if something has come up in which you're able to meet Bob for the holidays. Soulmates in the grand scheme of things, when you're talking about soulmates, okay, you might be alluding to the romantic notion of a soulmate, okay, that Harlequin romance idea of a soulmate. We have many soulmates in our lifetimes. Our souls are everlasting. Our souls have experienced many lifetimes. Our souls connect with one another in the earthly plane for basically to teach us certain valuable lessons. Okay, but what I believe that you're alluding to here is about Bob being your ideal romantic partner. Okay, someone that you can form a very strong bond, a loving relationship with, someone who can share with you a healthy and joyful relationship. You're a very old soul, Karen, to begin with. And I'm not talking about your physical age. I'm talking about that you have you've went through many lifetimes, more so I believe that Bob has. Well, I don't want to beat around the bush, but you and Bob can evolve what you have now with each other into something in which, like there's some sort of friendship, but in terms of a long-term commitment, a long-term relationship, I believe that you might be looking elsewhere for that. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with Bob or that, you know, that Bob is a bad guy, because he isn't. I'm just a little bit concerned about the lack of chemistry here on a very deep, profound level. Okay, even if you never met before and you two seemingly get along through emails and phone calls and internet chat or however that you're doing this, I don't know, I'm just not getting a click, okay, coming from my perception here. I'm seeing that, you know, yes, Bob is also looking for someone special, but they're showing me that he's a little bit more of a control freak. And I'm not, and I don't mean to take it into a very negative spin. It's just that you happen to be a little bit more flexible, and I have a feeling that Bob tends to be a little bit more stringent in a way. And that he seems to have some concerns about money or other financial responsibilities. So at times he may be a little bit like restricted, or maybe he might become a little bit unavailable because of things that are going on with him. So, you know, you can see for yourself as time moves along where this goes. I just don't want you to be set up for any kind of disappointment in the event that things may not work out the way you had hoped for with you and Bob. Now, I could be wrong in all of this, you know, and I do admit to being wrong. I just don't see it here, and I'm sorry. You and Bob can be very good friends. You do have a lot of things in common. You do seem to, like, share some similar interests. But from what I'm looking at here, I don't know. It might be a little bit more complicated below the surface here with him. But hey, if you guys do hook up and you meet face to face and, you know, really digs, you dig each other's vibes, then great. I'm just not seeing, like, full potential with this. I'm not seeing the long-term potential in this. And Karen, just to let you know, just so that you don't think that I'm just only giving you bad news with this, you're going to be meeting somebody else. They're not showing me a precise time frame. It could be sometime between now and spring. Someone who comes across as a fire sign energy. Fire signs are basically Aries, a Leo, or Sagittarius. I'm picking up this vibration to be that of an Aries male. Very good qualities. He's like you. He likes to see things, you know, in a very positive light. I'm getting a great deal of enthusiasm and optimism around him. He's always seeking for more, and he's always doing something to, let's say, he likes to share, is what I'm getting at. I'm getting him as being very, very generous. So I don't know if that's something that you're looking for in Bob, but this new energy that I believe is coming through is very, very generous, and someone who seems to be, I feel, a little bit more available and a little bit more ready for a long-term relationship. And they're showing me two names. Either his name is David or Ron. David or Ron. Or maybe his name is David Ronald Jenkins or something like that. You never know. And this could be someone that you either meet in person or maybe through the internet, like online dating or something. And with this fire sign Aries energy, there's a lot more chemistry. There is a lot more chemistry, a lot of mixing and blending of your vibration and his into a very nice little concoction here, which brings a lot more potential for a long-term committed relationship. It's going to require some patience. You can still, you know, hang out with Bob if you choose to. I just don't want you to be disappointed if things in the long run, you know, long run don't quite work out between you and Bob. And your guides are actually showing me this air sign energy possibly coming into the mix for you between now and, I'm going to say around April or May coming up of 2010. Okay, so I'm sure that's not what you really wanted to hear, but that's what's coming through. So thank you so much, Karen, for your question. And if you have a question out there for a free reading on the Intuitive Guidance Psychic Podcast, send your first name, complete dates of birth, please, month, day, and year. If you don't wish to use your first names, you can say, Dana, use my initials, or please put me down as anonymous, and I'll be sure to honor that request. And your one question to podcast@intuitivedana.com. I'm looking out of my window again, and now it seems as if the snowing has stopped or it's slowing down. So, I don't know what's going on. Okay. Next. Upcoming psychic events featuring yours truly. Tomorrow afternoon, depending how much snow we get, I guess, but tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock at 4761 Broadway in Upper Manhattan is the Holiday Spirit Gathering. Come one, come all, celebrate the holidays with us. Get an intuitive reading for only $5. And just come and have a good time with like minds, those of similar interests. For more information on the Holiday Spirit Gathering tomorrow, December 20th at 3 p.m., just go to northnyclightworkers.net, northnyclightworkers.net, or call 212-567-9688, 212-567-9688, and speak to Katie. If you're coming to the party for sure, be sure that you call an RSVP. We still have some space available because it's a private house, or shall I say a private residence, so we just can't have like hundreds of people in there for a party, but it's still a party nonetheless. Feel free to bring refreshments, beverages of the non-alcohol variety, please, healthy snacks, and even a potluck dish. All is appreciated. Come have a good time. Come get a reading for only $5. And celebrate the winter solstice with us as well. It's the Holiday Spirit Gathering taking place in New York City on the 20th, which is tomorrow at 3 p.m. Next, I was just recently contacted by the good friends at the ARE of New York Edgar Cayce Center, and they are putting together yet again another holistic psychic fair, which is taking place on Saturday, January the 9th from noon to 6 p.m. And I have told them I would be more than happy to work the entire time instead of half a shift. I would like to work the full day from noon to 6, allowing me to connect with more people. The New York Edgar Cayce Center is located at 241 West 30th Street between 7th and 8th Avenues in New York City. So for more information about the upcoming Holistic Psychic Fair, which is on January the 9th from noon to 6, you can call 212-691-7690, 212-691-7690, or go to arenyc.org for more information about the upcoming Holistic Psychic Fair. And lastly, for upcoming events, I also have a class coming up at the Edgar Cayce Center on Saturday, February the 6th. It's called Behind the Scenes, Understanding Your Comic History. If you're feeling as if you're stuck in patterns and you keep coming across self-sabotaging, limited beliefs and thoughts that have been holding you back for the longest time, it may be something having to do with an experience that you endured when you were quite young, or maybe a past life memory that has come to the surface in this current lifetime. I will be conducting this class from noon to 4 p.m. at the New York Edgar Cayce Center. And again, the name of the class is Behind the Scenes, Understanding Your Karmic History. It's on February the 6th. And to sign up, you can also go to NorthNYCLightworkers.net, NorthNYCLightworkers.net. That's the website where it has all the information about the class, or you can send an email to NorthNYCLightworkers@gmail.com, or you can call 917-686-7192. It's going to be a great class. I definitely encourage you to come. We can all support one another if we've been stuck in a holding pattern and getting ourselves out of these ruts and just embracing the full potential and just by understanding the missing pieces of our karmic past. And once we have put together those missing pieces into that whole puzzle, then we can say, oh, that's the reason why blah, 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 blah. That's what this class is for. That's the intention behind this class. It's a fun class, too. It's not going to be all serious, you know, for the most part. You don't have to worry about, you know, any kind of, like, sad stories, per se. It's for enlightenment purposes, okay, to really help you get more information that could really, really change your life. I have gone through it. I'm still putting the pieces together of my karmic history, and the things that I have found out make so much sense, and I really want to pass along that wisdom to you. So it's not an online course. It's taking place at an actual location, and if you're in the area on February the 6th, it would be great for you to sign up, come, and understand your karmic history. Alrighty. Moving right along. Haha. I have a reading request for M.S. She is inquiring about this situation in her life. She was involved with a gentleman and everything was going really well till she found out that he was a raging alcoholic. I'm sorry to hear that. And that this individual started to treat M as quite badly and treated his own kids not so well, and MS is actually pregnant. Congratulations to you. And unfortunately the father here didn't even care, it seems. So MS has left the situation. The other person has a new girlfriend, jeez. But he's been texting her saying that he doesn't want to be with this new gal and wants to be with MS instead and wants to see his baby girl when she's born. So I guess MS's question is, what should she do? Should she let him see the baby? Well, okay, this is really deep. And again, I'm very sorry, MS, that this has happened. The best thing I can say right now is that he is your daughter's father for a reason. And I'm not implying that you're going to get back with the man, especially if he's not even sure of himself. I get that he has a lot of He has a lot of integrity issues, is what I'm getting here. I believe he's coming from a place of insecurity and perhaps even being abused himself as a child. And he has not healed from the experience, obviously. So I wouldn't recommend that you go back, and I don't think you will. But for whatever reason, I do sense that he has to be your daughter's father for a reason. Okay, there's something in his lineage, something in his DNA, something that's been passed on to your daughter that could be somehow revealing in terms of the dynamics of his family. Okay, I'm beginning to get this feeling that his family, as dysfunctional as they appear, in my mind anyway, I wouldn't be surprised that his family has some sort of ability, some sort of an ability, or some sort of gift. And instead of embracing that particular gift or gifts, they mask it, they deny it, they avoid confronting that gift, if you will, through drugs, through alcohol, through anger, through all of these other obstacles. And somehow your daughter's going to be one who's going to step away from the pattern, if you will, of this dysfunction. Okay, maybe to awaken at some point down the road, her father's eyes, for him to get whatever healing that he needs. And I don't know, they're just showing me if somehow there's a lot of bipolar disorder or chemical imbalances in the DNA of this, of his side of the family. And if this happens to be an issue with your daughter when she's born, let's say, and she starts exhibiting that kind of behavior when she's about 2 or 3 years old, then you'll be able to know what to do with it to stop it, with her, so that whatever this is doesn't get passed along to her children or her children's children. It could be something nutritional. It could be something as if meditating or helping her embrace her light and her gift and her ability. I don't know if anyone on her father's side of the family has been diagnosed with schizophrenia, or that there's been issues with people hearing voices or seeing things. It could be schizophrenia to a degree, but there could also be a lot of mediumship involved in that, and it just hasn't been relayed or conveyed in a way in which that they're able to understand and deal with it. So your soon-to-be daughter, MS, may have some of that mediumship type of abilities. And before someone deems her as being cuckoo or crazy, it may not be that. And people do mask their gifts with alcohol, with drugs, because it's just, they think that there's something wrong. And they need to drown in their, I don't know, in their fears, so to speak, by excessive drinking. I will allow him to see the daughter when she's born, but then you still have to keep a safe distance from him, because he's still dealing with a lot of residual anger, either towards his father, towards his mother, whatever this is. His light has never been shown. His light has been diminished by people in his family so many times. That's why he turns to alcohol and physical abuse. And I wouldn't recommend going back to that. And it's really complicated. But as I said, he is your daughter's father for a reason. And there's something there that has to be learned from this. Especially when she's born, and then she grows up into a toddler, and then she's, you know, about to enter pre-kindergarten or daycare, that you will start to see signs of that. But you'll be able to help her understand, help her to identify what it is that she does see, and what it is that she hears. Okay, helping her to embrace those gifts, if you will, so that way she's not misdiagnosed as having attention deficit or schizophrenia or some sort of other bipolar disorder. okay? Because by the time she's about 3, 4, or 5, you'll already have what you need to work with her and letting her know that she's not crazy, that she's not cuckoo, that she's absolutely normal. It's just that she has this divine gift, which seems to come through from her father and her ancestral heritage, if you will. And that's the reason why that all of this stuff is kind of manifested into physical form, in terms of seeing someone who was never given an opportunity to have his light shine. His light has always been diminished by other people around him, but you can stop that, and helping your daughter stop that, before she forgets, let's say, her connection to Source, if you will. So, MS, thank you so much for your question, and I do pray for you and for your baby girl when she comes in. I know this hasn't been easy, and I wouldn't be surprised that the father does have some sort of inherent ability, but just had it removed from him because people thought he was stupid, crazy, cuckoo, whatever, which is very hard. Very, very hard. His true intentions, well, of course, he still wants to be a fixture in the baby's life, but he's never going to be, I feel, there, at least not for now anyway, to overcome his inner fears and years and years and layers of just being told you're crazy, you're cuckoo, you're nothing, you're stupid, whatever. It's really bad. And I don't mean to make any light of it. I'm not, you know, here to make fun of him, but it's basically he's never been in an environment that's been supportive of his light, and that's why he turned to alcohol and actually do what his father did to him, which is very sad. So, sure, he can see the child, but still, MS, keep a safe distance. Thank you so much for your question. I'll keep you and your baby girl in my thoughts and prayers. And again, if you have a question for a reading, a free reading on the Intuitive Guidance Psychic Podcast, send your first name, first names, or you can say anonymous, or use initials, please, and complete dates of birth, month, day, and year, and your one question to podcast@intuitivedana.com. Now, we're about to close the podcast with a message here from the Archangel Haniel. And Haniel is Haniel. She comes through in a very pale blue color. And she is glory of God. And Haniel gives glory to God by helping to bring out your highest qualities. And she helps to bring forth your grace. Haniel can also bring forth or helps with feminine health and with honoring our natural cycles, our moods, rhythms. Haniel is also associated with the moon's energy, and she also helps with clairvoyance. And she comes to us with a message about sensitivity or emotional sensitivity, especially during this time of year. And that we are all extra sensitive to energies and emotions right now. So honor yourself and honor your feelings. Especially when you're around relatives. The Christmas dinner. When Cousin Jack starts to open his mouth and you want to like slug him, but you can't. Honor your feelings from within. Just say, I know that Cousin Jack is being an ass, but I love him anyway, to the best of your ability. Even at company Christmas parties, when you're around certain people that you just cannot stand, but you love them anyway, just honor your feelings and trust that we're all pretty much vulnerable to a lot of energies right now, as that thin veil between the material plane and the spiritual plane. That veil becomes more and more thin and allowing us to really pick up on a lot of stuff and a lot of emotional energies. So whatever you feel, honor that. Trust what you are getting. And know that we are all extra sensitive right now. And so it is. Thank you, Haniel, for reminding us of our emotional sensitivity at this time. And for all of you out there, I wanted to also, something else just came to mind. People have asked me about doing predictions for the new year. I didn't do it last year because I wasn't feeling well. This was a couple of months before my surgery, and I am not doing it this year. Oh, you know what? I skipped something. Speaking of which, I did skip. I meant to talk about, I guess I'm kind of rushing here, the 2010 personal forecast readings. Yes, 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 I am taking new requests now. Ding! Instead of doing predictions for the year ahead, I'm only doing the personal forecast readings, which in a sense is like giving you predictions or future probabilities for the new year. The 2010 personal forecast readings are audio, pre-recorded. They last about 90 minutes in length, and you will get a month by month detailed analysis of each month of the coming new year from January to December. Whew! And I use my natural clairvoyance, of course, and symbolic tarot imagery. You will also get an understanding of your life path and your personal year numbers based on Pythagorean numerology. And you will also get to know or become more associated with your primary archangel for the new year of 2010 and any other messages from your spirit guides. This is a great investment in just knowing what is likely to happen, likely to occur for the upcoming new year, and it's also a great gift idea for your friends or your loved ones, your colleagues, or whoever. For more information about the 2010 personal forecast readings, and I have gotten quite a few more, they do take a while to do because they are audio forecasts, either digital download or audio cassette. Go to my website, www.intuitivedana.com. And when you get to the, excuse me, I had to do that. When you get to the main page of my website, intuitivedana.com, right there is a graphic about yay big about the 2010 personal forecast readings. The deadline, the cutoff for all new requests is January 31st. So you still have a little more than a month, but I must let you know it takes at least 21 days for me to get through a few forecast readings, because things may be changing on my end for whatever reason, and yet I want to make sure I give you a high-quality personal forecast reading. So please allow 21 days. But even still, it's still a great gift idea for your loved ones. It's relatively inexpensive, and it's a great way to find out month by month exactly what's taking place in your life for the year 2010. That's what I meant to say, and I skipped that part because Hania was like, I want to come through with my message. And I skipped the 2010, so that's all right. Anyway, Lord have mercy. Take a deep breath and let it out. Take another deep breath. Let it out. And just say to yourselves, Holy Father, Divine Mother, thank you for the conclusion of a very revealing year, 2009, as we embrace the spirit of the holiday season, preparing us for the new year ahead. We see ourselves continually surrounded and immersed in this beautiful white light of pure divine energy to protect and to keep us safe from any fear-based or lower harsh energies. Thank you, Creator, God, and all that is, for your presence in our lives. this day and every day. Amen. I'm choking here. Oh, the snow has picked up. I figured it would. Anyway, sorry about that. I'm going back and forth here. So this completes the December 19th Intuitive Guidance Psychic Podcast. I'll be back sometime after the beginning of the new year with a new podcast. So until then, season's greetings, happy holidays, peace, many blessings, and love and light to you. Namaste.